Hope is a powerful thing. It's the quiet strength that carries a woman through a diagnosis she never expected, and the light that guides her toward healing one day at a time. As we close out Breast Cancer Awareness Month, we're honoring that hope through the powerful testimonies of two incredible survivors. Their stories will remind us that faith can flourish even in life's hardest seasons, and that survival is not just about overcoming disease, it's about rediscovering purpose, peace, and the will to keep shining.
Today's episode of Vital Voices is brought to you by Oak Tree Medical Center and Wellspring Lifestyle Group.
Vital Voices.
Welcome to Vital Voices, the podcast where we amplify the stories, insights, and expertise of the people shaping the future of our communities, our conversations, and our country. I'm your host, Alexis Burrows. Thank you for joining us. In this final episode of October, we're closing out Breast Cancer Awareness Month with two extraordinary women who embody courage and grace. You'll hear from Dr. Ida Mae Hanna and Ms. Nikki Darling, two breast cancer survivors who faced the diagnosis head-on, found strength in their faith, and now use their voices to inspire others to take charge of their health and hold fast to hope. Their stories are real, raw, and redemptive, and they remind us that even when life changes in an instant, God's hand never leaves. So, welcome to the show, Mrs. Darling and Dr. Hanna. We are happy to have you on.
Good to be here.
Awesome. So we are going to do this episode a little bit differently. We're going to start by hearing Nikki's story first, and then we'll hear Dr. Hanna's story, and then we'll kind of have a little conversation at the end, combining both of your experiences for our listeners. So as we mentioned in the open, obviously, this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. This is the episode that's going to close out October for Vital Voices. And I've done a couple of different episodes over the past few years between my previous podcast endeavor and this one where we've talked about breast cancer. And it's typically been from the standpoint of promoting screening, of, you know, promoting the process, helping to promote organizations that are involved in bringing awareness, doing research, building funding, things like that. But this year, I really wanted to take a different approach altogether, and I wanted to talk to people who have walked through the journey, using this platform and your stories as an opportunity to give people hope. And so that is the critical part of what we would like to kind of get out of this conversation as we go through today. So I encourage you both to be real and raw and open and honest about your journeys through it, you know, because I imagine it would have come with its share of ups and downs, mentally, physically, emotionally, as you went through from diagnosis through screening, diagnosis, treatment, and remission on the other side. So we want to hear the full gamut of the story, but leaving our listeners with hope of being able to walk through the journey themselves. So let's start with Nikki. So take us back to the moment where you first learned about your diagnosis. What was going through your mind?
Well, this would have been back in 2023, May. Mm-hmm. Well, when I first found out, I did not know that breast cancer was not on my mind. I felt the lump. I was like, I disregarded it for a week and some. And then when I went to the doctor, I did the screenings and everything, the biopsy, and found out that I had it. I was like numb. Because when the doctor told me, my response then was, okay. He sat and he was looking at me, and I looked back at him, and I guess he was waiting for me to cry, but in that moment, I was numb.
Mm-hmm. How old were you when you got your diagnosis?
30.
You don't mind me asking.
30.
30, so that's very young. And that's a, you know, it's a particular concern that we've seen. We've seen the numbers, especially in our country, skew so young. You know, we have people 30, 35, 33, many more women are being diagnosed with breast cancer at such an early age. So you were numb. How did you go through that process of like coming to the realization of, wait, no, this is now a fight that I'm in. This is something that I have. Like, how did you move from numb to actually trying to process the diagnosis?
Well, for me, processing it was, I didn't do it alone.
Mm-hmm.
My family was there from day one. And I literally, the first person that I actually told I got diagnosed was my pastor.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave me that hope that I needed to push through,
mm-hmm.
Dealing with the diagnosis. So that was something that played a major part in my journey.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned that you felt something was off. You felt a lump. How did you? Because I can't imagine how this works, right? Being obviously as a man on the other side of this conversation, but what even went through your mind? Because you said you weren't even thinking about it, even though you felt that something was off. But how do you go from, okay, let me go from that point of self-examination into I need to go and see a doctor and kind of see what's going on?
Well, because it was there, like I felt it, I was like, okay, you know, something really going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, I was like, I'm doing softball, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I might have injured myself somewhere. So I left it alone, thinking mm-hmm. that it was nothing. And when I felt it again, I was like, okay, time to go.
Okay. Was there any symptoms, anything that you felt was out of whack? Or you just felt normal?
I felt normal. No.
Wow. And when you went through the process, what stage were you at when you actually got diagnosed?
I was at stage 3.
Oh, wow.
No symptoms, no pain, no swelling.
This is why these conversations are important, because like you said, you sat down, you're like, you know, I'm active, I'm doing a sport. Maybe this is some sort of injury. You don't think there, especially at 30, you're like, that's just something just happened and it ain't no big deal. But as you started to process it through, you said that your pastor was the first person that you spoke to. And obviously that would have been a message of great hope that he had given you. But what would you say were your biggest fears at that time as you started to come to grips with it and as you started to process through it, like emotionally and spiritually? What were some of the things that were the thoughts that were running through your mind?
Well, the thoughts, I would not say I had fears,
mm-hmm.
but I just was like, it was just like cancer. Like I have breast cancer. Like I was so shocked. So for me, it was like, I cried. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I cried like that first day. And after that, I cried about 2 times during my journey after that.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, I was not dwelling on, okay, I have breast cancer. I was at a point now that I have it. Now let's deal with it.
Okay. And in the early days, you mentioned that your family was, you know, there to support you from day one. How important would you say that having a support system was for you throughout the journey, especially, you know, being at a young age? And I guess, was there a particular person that was like a particular source of strength during that time? Like what did that look like?
Well, for me, I would say my family as a whole,
mm-hmm.
everyone was there. When it came down to me booking my initial appointments,
mm-hmm.
my cousin, she did all of that for me because she's a nurse. So she did everything for me. So for me, I just was, okay, this is the time I need to be to the appointment. And I was there.
Mm-hmm.
So my family as a whole, they supported me from day one.
Yeah. I imagine... sometimes that's difficult to even do some of those basic things yourself, like set the appointment, because like you said, I know people walk through the journey and you can get numb and you can get lost in the moment of what's happening, how am I going to deal with this, all of those sorts of things. And it's helpful to have that kind of support. Somebody can say, well, listen, I'll just get you sorted out with your appointments. All you have to do is show up. Because it kind of takes some of that mental burden and that pressure off of you. And now it's like, I just have to step into the room. What was your treatment process like what were all of the components of your treatment, and how did you navigate that process?
For me, my treatments, I did all of my treatments at the University of Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And initially they told me that I would have to do 16 rounds of chemo along with radiation.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of it, after I was completed my 16 rounds of chemo, I did not have to do radiation.
Mm-hmm.
I also did a double mastectomy, and during that time, that was at the time that they told me that they saw no evidence of the disease, so they opted out of the radiation
mm-hmm.
process for me.
And it never spread anywhere else?
No.
Wow, that's amazing. So to find out at stage 3, to initially be looking down at chemo and radiation and surgery, and being able to kind of step back and having gone through the chemo and gone through the surgery and not need, that's amazing. How long was the journey altogether from your initial diagnosis through them saying, hey, you know, we don't see any sign of anything left?
Okay, so that was May 2023. Mm-hmm. And I did my surgery April 2024. But I was finished chemotherapy. I did chemotherapy from September 2023 to mm-hmm. February 2024.
Okay. How did your diagnosis, and I guess you're walking through this journey, or did it change your perspective on life in any way?
It did. It did. Because it gave me a better outlook at life. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we just be here taking life for granted. And I'm sitting here today, cancer-free. Mm-hmm. Some person who probably started the journey with me, started the journey after me, is not here today. So sometimes we have to be grateful. We have to be thankful for where we are in life because mm-hmm. only the good Lord.
Yeah.
Only the good Lord.
Yeah. You know, I was telling you guys before we got on the air, my mom was diagnosed in April of 2020, and she died in December of 2021. We have a friend of our family who was similar age to you, and same thing, 18 months between when she was initially diagnosed and when she was diagnosed, it wasn't even stage one yet. There was just evidence of something that they were concerned about. And from that day to when she passed was literally about 18, 19 months. And so you're very much right that, you know, in the same time frame that you went from diagnosis to being in remission, you have people who went through that process and then from diagnosis to legitimately not being here. And so it is a story of hope, that because I think sometimes too often we hear all of, you know, the stories of, you know, well, my mom passed, or, you know, my best friend passed, or my cousin passed, and things like that. But I think we have to tell these stories of having gone through the journey and come out on the other side so that people know that there is hope. Because I think that's sometimes a missing ingredient for people as they walk through their journey, is knowing that, no, I know this person as a 30-year-old, where a lot of times the younger people have even, you know, grimmer prognoses than the older women, because there's usually a more aggressive form and there's all these things you have to be concerned about. And so to be able to say, you know, well, if someone's listening and they just got diagnosed and they're 30, 31, 32, it's like, no, I now know someone, because if they don't know it in their personal life, I'm hearing this and I know there's someone who's walked this journey and has come out on the other side cancer free. And I think that's a very important thing for people to be able to hear. Now, cancer is a journey, right? No matter how you walk it, no matter what your process looks like, it's a journey. And obviously your healthcare team is a large part of that journey. So what was that like? Like, what role did your physicians, you know, the different people that are involved in your care, what role did they play in making you feel supported and informed? Because I think that's sometimes what people have fear too, is like, am I going to know what's happening at every step of the way? What did that process look like for you?
Well, for me, my care team consisted of oncologists. I'm also BRCA1. I have that gene mm-hmm. after testing. So I had a general surgeon. I had a oncologist plastic surgeon. Mm-hmm. I also have a gynecologist oncologist. Because with BRCA1, it also puts you at risk for ovarian
right.
cancer as well. So that's a screening that I now have to do every 6 months mm-hmm. as well. But the care team, I had nurses, doctors, and one thing they did, especially before I started, I had a Zoom call. Mm-hmm. They did chemo teaching. I just spent like about 2 hours. They gave me side effects. They gave me everything of every drug, everything that they were going to give me. Mm-hmm. It was a bit overwhelming for me, but it was so much information. I was like, oh my God, like I have to go through all of this. Mm-hmm. But it was beneficial because okay. I knew what to expect.
Yeah. You know, having walked through the journey from start to finish, like looking back over it, is there a particular message that you would give or say to women who, you know, who may have been recently diagnosed or who may, like, you feel like they felt something but they're not, you know, they're not necessarily concerned about it, like, just a general message to women who may be like you, young and potentially facing this sort of diagnosis?
If you are facing it, I would tell you there is hope. There is hope. It's going to be a mental battle for you, mm-hmm. also a physical, but you have the opportunity to control your mental. So I would tell you, listen, live your life. Don't let it stop you. Mm-hmm. I did not let it stop me. I had moments where when I'm doing things, I'll be like, oh, why am I getting tired? Then mm-hmm. I'll be like, oh, girl, you're dealing with breast cancer. Mm-hmm. Like, I had to remind myself, oh, you're dealing with this. Because I was just going about my day when I had the chance. I was in the U.S. when I did my treatment. So whenever I was feeling good, okay, time to go shopping. Mm-hmm. I did a double mastectomy 3 days post-op. I was in Sawgrass Mall. Mm-hmm. So I was like, my sister's like, I'm going to the mall. I was like, I go in. So definitely, you have the capacity to control how you think, how you look at it. Mm-hmm. And there is hope. Don't dwell on, oh, I'm going to be sick. Oh, because a lot of persons, when they think cancer, they think death. Mm-hmm. And like I told you, my pastor was the first person that I told. And the first thing he said, listen to me, cancer is not a death sentence. Cancer is not a death sentence. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is keep the faith and live.
Yeah. How important would you say your faith was to you during your journey?
Well, my faith for me, even when I went to do my biopsy, I was like, I had in my AirPods listening to my gospel music because I was like, you know, the Bible says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed in me, I was like, I don't have no cancer. I don't have no cancer. Like, I left work to go and get the results. Because I was like, and took no one with me. Because I was like, there's no way, like, I'm going to have cancer. Like, that was not on my mind. So for me, with my faith, I just made up in my mind. I said, Lord, if this is the walk that I have to walk, walk it with me. Just don't leave me. Walk it with me.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Ladies, at Oak Tree Medical Center, your health is our priority. From early detection to advanced treatment options, our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. With locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI at Top of the Hill Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram Movement continues. Call us today at 242-321-145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring. Compassionate. Complete.
Discover the ultimate in personalized health care with the Oak Tree Primary Plus program. Enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 242-8164-OPP, 4667, or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Primary Plus, where your health comes first.
Gentlemen, it's time to take charge of your health with Oak Tree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oak Tree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oak Tree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oak Tree Surgical Suites, Top of the Hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring, compassionate, complete. Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation. All right, so we're gonna switch gears and we're gonna talk to Dr. Hannah now and kind of get a little bit of your story. When did you find out? How did you get diagnosed and told that you had breast cancer?
Well, actually, it was in February of 2024. I turned 65 in March of that year. And I was like, okay, let me do all my testing because at this age, I don't want my insurance to throw me off and so forth like that. So there was no visible, you know, palpation, you know, thing that I knew of. So I went and I did all my testing. And then when I got to do the mammogram, I saw that they were going around a little spot on the monitor. I was like, what in the world is that? And then he said, well, we're going to have to biopsy that. So they biopsied it and came back cancerous. I was like, what? I eat right. I exercise. I do all the good things. I'm a vegetarian. I have been from age 20. And I was like, wow. I was like, I'm educating people about how to live healthier. So I was like, what? Then I remembered I have allergies, really bad ones. I used to have asthma. And when I got off of dairy and cheese in my 20s, that went away. But after menopause, I started having hives. And so I had to go through elimination. Praise the Lord. I learned a lot of this from UG Pines, how to go through that elimination diet. And I found out I was allergic to wheat, okay? And I couldn't have walnuts and I couldn't have peanuts because it caused problem. So I got off of those things and was fine for about 2-3 years, but the same time I was getting my diagnosis, I was experiencing hives again. I was like, Lord, what's going on? And I know this can lead into autoimmune problems, so I needed to deal with this. So I was in the process of eliminating, but when I got that, I went straight to the lab, and I did an allergy test. I was shocked at what I got. Top of the list of severe is soy. But not only that, I had to be careful about rice, flaxseed, chia seed, couldn't have walnuts, couldn't have almonds. As a whole lot of food I had to cut back on. They weren't severe, but they were moderate and mild and so forth. And I came to the conclusion, because I believe you should ascertain the cause, you know, what I noticed 2 years before when I did my blood work, my white blood cells was a little elevated, which was a red flag to me. But no one said that anything was wrong with that, but I had a red flag. And then I realized that probably that's what was causing the problem. So now I had to deal with that. Now, when I found this out in February, in the month of March, I was leading out in a whole light program from Wildwood, Georgia, and we had 70 people sign up for that light program, and it was a month intensive. And I was hosting the people who were going to be teaching at my house. I was like, Lord, what a thing. And I wanted a second opinion because... Well, anyhow, to cut a long story short, I went through the training because I was doing educational part two during that. And I was like, I cannot be like some people and say, I ain't claiming this. The evidence is there. It was obviously first stage. And my doctor said, you need to go and see my oncologist. I was like, okay. I started to work through what I need to do. Then I found out, I decided one thing I need to do is have a mastectomy, because cancer is like sin. You got to move the sin to get the desired effect. And so I planned, and I actually did that surgery here. And after the surgery, I had already planned to go to Eden Valley, okay, which is like UG Pines, or because I had chosen not to go through chemo and radiation and so forth. So I had to put that off, do my surgery, and in the month of June, I went and I took the whole month off and I went to both UG Pines and Eden Valley and did the lifestyle things, get the hydrotherapy treatments and so forth. My physician told me coming closer to the end of the year, I need to go and get a PET CT scan, make sure they didn't see anything, but they needed to make sure. So I went to Florida in November to get that PET CT, got to make sure everything was clear. They found everything was clear and so forth, and I praise the Lord for that. But they did say, we want you to go and do your colonoscopy. Now, mind you, my whole family have been doing the colonoscopy, and I was like, I eat right. I have regular bowel movement. I shouldn't have a problem with colonoscopy. I was like, so, but since they said I should have one done, I went and did it. I actually did it the week before Christmas of 2024. And yes, it came back. There was cancer there. I was in a state of shock. You could imagine. So here it is, the first week in January of 2025, which is this year, I had to have another surgery, microscopic type surgery that I did. I must say, the comeback, within about 2 weeks, I was kind of back to my regular self. I believe lifestyle matters. And I believe because of my lifestyle, things worked out fine. Since then, I've had my other allergy tests, and there are certain other foods I can eat. Actually, I couldn't even eat mango during that time. Mango was one of the, I had to cut back on oranges. It was a whole host of things. Now I could eat some of those. I'm trying not to overdo on anything and so forth, but definitely I'm staying away from soy. And so forth. So that was my journey, and I do believe that the allergies were I was on the verge of autoimmune,
right?
Basically,
right,
something like that.
Basically, when your body reacts to the allergies, it's inflammation, right?
Yes,
so your body was sitting in a state of what seems like a constant baseline inflammation, which from as I tell people. I'm not a doctor. I play one on TV, but not a doctor. But from what I understand, when your body sits in a place of inflammation, it makes you more susceptible to things like the development of cancer and stuff like that. And that inflammation can come from things like allergies. It can come from things like stress. It can come from improper eating habits. All these different things that play a part in that whole process. But that's amazing that you walked through the journey without needing to do chemo and without needing to do radiation. It was it's basically the surgery and then lifestyle changes. You know, it seems like you walked through that with a very strong sense of, yes, this is something that I'm facing, but I have faith that I'm going to come out from the other side. Just walk through the faith part of that journey for me.
I tell you, when I got that diagnosis, I was like, okay, Lord, is this my time? I was like, you just give me the strength to do whatever you want me to do. Empower me. I actually did call my pastor, and the Bible did say, if there is sick among you, call the elders and anoint, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. Well, I don't, you know, God doesn't heal everybody. You know, sometimes even that is for his glory. I actually got my mind realizing, I said, Lord, whatever you want for me, just help me to glorify you in whatever the situation is. So we had the anointing service. I recognized, because at that point I hadn't had the surgery yet. I didn't know what my prognosis was gonna be and so forth like that. But I settled it in my mind, and believe it or not, it was amazing the amount of peace I had. Here I am, a whole month doing classes and so forth. The folks who I was with, they knew what was going on, but the students didn't know. And I didn't show any sign of me being stressed. And I actually wasn't stressed like that. I put it in the hand of God, and I was amazed at myself that I had that peace, okay? And that's a peace that passes on. Understanding, because honestly, it's not like me. And went through all of that because I couldn't do anything for the next month. But then I had a lot of time to process and decide what I was going to do and all that stuff. But yes, God has been with the journey, and I could only praise the Lord because it's only Him that got me through this with my sanity, you know, because that was a shocker for me.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Ladies, at Oak Tree Medical Center, your health is our priority. From early detection to advanced treatment options, our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. With locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI at Top of the Hill Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram Movement continues. Call us today at 242-321-145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring. Compassionate. Complete.
Discover the ultimate in personalized health care with the Oak Tree Primary Plus program. Enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 242-8164-OPP, 4667, or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Primary Plus, where your health comes first.
Gentlemen, it's time to take charge of your health with Oak Tree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oak Tree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oak Tree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oak Tree Surgical Suites, Top of the Hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring, compassionate, complete. Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation.
And I think it's powerful to hear too, because sometimes, you know, you get a diagnosis at the age of 65 and you could literally look at it and be like, yeah, you know, I'm almost at my 3 score in 10. Maybe, like you said, maybe this is just it. I do wonder though, you know, you mentioned that you're a vegetarian, you were eating very clean from your 20s because, you know, you had like allergies and things like that. You know, when you get a diagnosis like this, knowing that you were, you know, like you said, eating healthy, you know, doing all of the right things, did it shake your faith in just the approach that you had been taking? Because that's 45 years of I'm doing in what's right for my body. Like, how did you process that? Because now a lot of the things that you were consuming, I'm not doing meat, I'm not doing cheese, I'm not doing dairy, but the things that I am consuming somehow are still putting me at risk.
Yes. That was a shocker for me. I was like, oh my goodness, what are people going to think? Here I look at me and so forth. Then Holy Spirit said, you need to share your testimony. Okay. And here it is in that group of 70 people. At the end of our training, I requested to share what was going on this whole month. And I tell you, the audience, there was tears coming down people's eyes because it was like, well, if you having this problem, what do you think about me? And so forth. I realized I couldn't keep it to myself. I needed to share what has happened to me and be a blessing to someone else. I had to reiterate that lifestyle does matter, because I honestly believe if I was not with the type of lifestyle and know what I know, you know, I don't think I would have fared as well as I did.
And you might have been diagnosed a lot sooner, because like even if you were just, if you were eating just the regular omnivore mm-hmm. diet, right? Mm-hmm. Given that you were having so much allergic reactions to, like you said, things like dairy and cheese yes. and all those sorts of stuff, you might have had your diagnosis a lot earlier, because it might have put your body in a state of inflammation a lot. Like this process might have started years ago.
Yes.
And then again, you don't know what your prognosis would be at that point, because sometimes, like Nikki said, like she didn't have anything that made her feel like she was at risk. She was healthy. She was playing sports. She was going through life, and there was no evidence. There was nothing the same. But you said you didn't feel like anything was wrong. Mm-hmm. So imagine the difference there. I think what it also helps as a reminder for us is, you know, we are advocates for a number of things on this show. One is obviously, you know, proper lifestyle habits, but it's also the concept of primary care, like doing your annual visits, doing your testing, being, you know what's going on with your body, because then that'll help to kind of give you an idea of what's happening. And then we also encourage that from the standpoint of it also builds a history. So if you go into the same physician every year, they can start to see the things that you might miss, because you're just like, I'm just a little more tired. But then they realize, oh, no, wait, this has been a progression. There's something here we might need to be concerned about. And so there's also that process of it. So we are, like I said, very strong advocates of going through the process of doing your annuals, doing your primary care, but also, you know, advocating for proper lifestyle choices to kind of help keep your body in prime condition.
I want to say, when I did the colonoscopy, they told me that they are recommending that all breast cancer people get the colonoscopy at the right age. I think it's 45, because they see the same type of tissues as in the breast, in the colon. And wow, when I did it, there was a problem. So right now, another thing, testing is very important. That's something at the top of the list. Go and do your mammogram, do your all your tests, and at the time, appropriate time, do your colonoscopy. It is very important, especially in this country where colon cancer is another biggie. And so I do have a colonoscopy to do again at the end of the year, just to make sure everything is fine. But that was a wake-up call to me.
As you start to go through that process of now you have screenings every so often.
Yes.
Whether it's annually, every 6 months, depending on what it is. I know that that whole process changes.
Yes.
For you, what was your support system like, and how did that help you in going through the journey?
Well, I have a lot of support. I had my church. I had my church family. My family is very supportive and so forth. I had to break the news to my 10 siblings and so forth. I was like, okay, I got to make sure I get everything and break. But they were calm and collected, and they prayed, and they supported, and I'm just so thankful for the family that I have that is very supportive. That's my immediate family and my extended
family as well.
Yes.
You know, I want to go back to something you mentioned a little bit earlier. When you said God basically told you that it was to share your testimony.
Yes.
You know, how important is that? Because, you know, again, a lot of people go through the journey and they have different experiences. Yours is obviously, for a lot of people, it's going to sound unique. For people like you, and I guess to an extent me, because I've experienced, like my wife and I went to Wildwood a few years back. Her grandmother had gone to Yuchi Pines. So we're familiar with, you know, some of the work of places like that. But, you know, how important is it to tell that story, to tell your testimony?
I believe, number one, I think it releases the stress, because hoarding that story and being afraid to tell it, I mean, you're alone. at the same time, there's so many people you can help, you know? And, the Holy Spirit told me, you need to share. You need to open up. And I'm glad I did. And I think it's helpful for my family, too, because looking into a colon problem, we found out that there were 7 of my family members, uncles, cousins, that had the problem with colon problem. So it's genetic also. But if you're not talking, you would never know about these things, and you will not be able to help someone else.
That's true. I mean, was there a family history of breast cancer as well?
My aunt, who lived with us, she had breast cancer. And so when I was diagnosed, I asked my doctor, I was like, I haven't had any children, and I remember my aunt didn't have any children. Does it have a relationship? And she said, there is. It does. And I was like, wow. my aunt went to UG Pines, and she got a mastectomy. The doctor there told them to take it off, you know, and then come. And she lived to almost 80 years old. She had no recurrence, so.
Yeah, you know, I would encourage people to who are listening to this, you know, obviously we advocate for, you know, listening to your physicians and going through that process. But at the same time, you know, I would encourage people to go and visit websites for places like Wildwood and UG Pines and go on their YouTube channels, because I know Wildwood for sure has testimonies from some of the people who've walked through their facilities. Mm-hmm. I know their chaplain, his name is slipping me at the moment, but I know their chaplain had stage 4 leukemia and came out on the other side and is still working in the facility and telling his testimony every time people come into there. And it's a part of, you know, the whole experience. And a lot of it was managed through lifestyle change. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so funny. I've been recounting as we're coming up on having been doing the podcast for about a year now. So we've been doing just reviews of some of the things that we've done. And it's so funny. One of our most frequent guests has been Shanishka Cambridge, who is the dietitian at Oaktree Medical Center. And it's because nutrition plays such an important role in how we manage our health. And, you know, we had her on, 2 weeks ago, talking about the importance of nutrition in the fight against breast cancer, both from risk reduction to managing during treatment, and then also, you know, lifelong wellness in remission. And so I would encourage people, you know, to go and listen to that episode, go and seek out these places and hear. And if there is, you know, an inkling of, hey, I need to be going in this direction, you know, go and see what it's all about, mm-hmm. and see if it's something that's for you. Because you might find that, you know, that in tandem with a traditional medical approach, mm-hmm. you know, might bring you to the best place of healing. Because at the end of the day, what we want to encourage people to do is find healing, right? For some people, it's going to be fully traditional. For some people, it's going to be a combination thereof. And for some people, it's going to be purely, you know, through lifestyle change. It just depends. Your journey was predominantly through lifestyle change. And so I think it's important for people to hear that and understand that, you know, the way you approach your health can be done from a number of different directions. And I think both sides of what people would consider traditional and non-traditional healthcare can work together to bring about, you know, positive outcomes.
Yeah. When I thought about what I needed to do, I didn't throw anything out.
Right.
Because I may have to come back, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? But that was, traditional was not my first.
Right.
Okay, I realized that just boosting my immune system with a lifestyle change mm-hmm. was gonna give me the best way to go. Mm-hmm. And if I have to do the other, then fine. Mm-hmm. So I think the combination is extremely good.
Yeah. From my understanding, you were operating in naturopathic medicine prior to your diagnosis, correct?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And working with nutrition and lifestyle changes. And I've referred a lot of people for help mm-hmm. in that area.
So how was your survivorship shaped your mission, given that you were already in the space of naturopathic medicine, but did it change it in any way? Did it enhance it in any way? Or did it reinforce it?
It just reinforced. Just reinforced. And and again, because here it is, I was, I have a deli, natural deli, vegetarian, plant-based deli that I operate. People were coming in for gluten-free and this-free and all kinds of things, people with needing to get off of tomatoes, nightshades, and so forth. And of course, I was stenching a little bit. Now I'm full force into it. We have gluten-free. We have everything right. free now because, and I believe the Lord allowed me to get in a position where I had to, mm-hmm. and then I can help more people
right.
who have the same issues.
Mm-hmm. This is a safe space. Feel free to say the name of your
Okay, this is Better Living Health Center on Balfour and Palm Beach Street. We're a full health food store as well as a vegetarian deli, and we serve about, say, 4 or 5 entrees every day. We do breakfast and lunch and sandwiches, and we try to get it clean and produce our own stuff most of the time.
Awesome. So we'll take that that information as well, because we, like I said, my wife and I, we are we're always looking for, places like that, plant-based, things like that, to kind of keep it as a part of our diet as well. Mm-hmm. So it's always good to know that there's another something that's out there for people to be able to find different options for, like you said, when you're looking for plant-based, when you're looking for the different gluten-free, this free, that free, to have another option where people know that they can go to get that. So I'm happy to hear that. What would your message of hope be for someone who is newly diagnosed or currently in treatment for breast cancer?
There is hope. Right now, get your options. Don't just settle for one. Find out the spectrum of all that's available, and definitely look at it at the point of diet and nutrition, because we are what we eat. From the cell level, you know, you can't run from that, and get some exercise in there. It's a holistic approach, and if you're not getting enough rest, and I know I could use some more, get some more rest and try to follow that 8 laws of health that I adhere to: good nutrition, exercise, water intake, sunlight is so important. We learned that during COVID. Okay. Temperance, meaning being very careful, moderation, and total abstinence from those things that are not good, but moderation in those things that are good. Proper rest, get your fresh air, and trust in divine power. Very important.
Awesome. I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Ladies, at Oak Tree Medical Center, your health is our priority. From early detection to advanced treatment options, our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. With locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI at Top of the Hill Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram Movement continues. Call us today at 242-322-21145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center, caring, compassionate, complete.
Discover the ultimate in personalized health care with the Oak Tree Primary Plus program. Enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 242-8164-OPP, 4667, or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Primary Plus, where your health comes first.
Gentlemen, it's time to take charge of your health with Oak Tree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oak Tree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oak Tree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oak Tree Surgical Suites, Top of the Hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Medical Center, caring, compassionate, complete. Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation.
So as we move to our closing segment, I want to bring you both in for these last set of questions. You know, obviously having had quite different journeys through the process, but how would you both say you define healing now, physically, emotionally, and spiritually? I'll start with you, Nikki.
Well, for me now, healing, oh my, it is something that starts within the mind, I would say. And then definitely once you are healed in your mind, your body has no choice but to follow. Because this is what we want. You know, sometimes we have to manifest it. We think, oh, I'm feeling sick. But when you start to speak things into existence, I am healed. That's in your mind, and your body has no choice but to follow that.
And the Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue, right? Mm-hmm. So what you speak, what you think, you know, it's critical.
this mind over matter thing is powerful, okay? Healing does come from God. And trusting in God is so important. And being open, it's like, okay, Lord, what would you have me to do? And approach it to him first, and he will guide you as to what you should do. So I went to him first. People usually wait until they're on their deathbed before they decide to call the elders. But I realized, first things first, go to him, and then he guided and directed me as to what I should do. And then healing comes from him.
Okay. And what do you think people misunderstand most about surviving breast cancer?
They lose hope. I think that's the biggest problem. Many people, when they hear breast cancer, is like she said, it's a death sentence, you know, and it's not. It's not a death sentence, you know. This too shall come to pass, and I will live. And once my hand is in God's hand, my time is in God's hand too. If he chooses to do otherwise, I can be happy.
Same question. What do you think people misunderstand?
I think they do, because sometimes you go, when you're going through it, you be like, oh, I'm so sick. I remember when they switched my treatments to the medication that they refer to as the Red Devil. That was my worst experience. And I was not eating like for 2 weeks. So during that time, persons might think, oh my God, like this is not it. Like, you know, this is it for me. But sometimes we have to look at the bigger picture, because I would have never thought that, looking back, wow, this is where I came from. And when I started, I never knew that this is how I was going to be. You see yourself losing weight, doing all this hair falling off, and then you start to look in the mirror and you'd be like, I don't even recognize the person. So you can't lose hope there, because you have to look at the bigger picture. I'm still alive. I'm still living. I'm still pushing through this. So you just have to keep here. Like, it all goes back to the mind. Stay focused. Stay focused on your goal. You know, I am going to beat breast cancer, despite how it may look.
Yeah. You know, both of you mentioned that your support system, whether it be your community, your church family, or your actual family, were very helpful in supporting you through the journey. But, you know, I know that people oftentimes who are walking alongside women who are fighting, going through the breast cancer fight, may not often know the best way to support. So from your perspective, what would you say, or what advice would you give to say how, whether it be your community of friends, your church, or your family, can understand about supporting women as they go through the breast cancer journey?
If you can get support from your church family, prayers. Prayer changes things. And from day one, my mom, everyone who she knew could have prayed, she was calling. Everyone. I had my aunt who lives in Atlanta. She was like, I have you on our prayer list. So I had, and then I had my church family, my Revolution church family. They prayed me through. My pastor, he was there every step of the way. He encouraged me. He prayed for me daily. And that's something that you really, really need. And your family, let them, as much as you can be around your family members who can support you. Sometimes that's all you need. Because at one point I did 4 months straight in the U.S. and I was like, I need to come home. I had family there, but, you know, everybody else was here. Right. So when I came back home, sometimes it was just being around family just gave me that hope.
Yeah, that sense of normalcy.
Yeah.
What about you? What would you say, you know, how families, churches, or communities can better support women who are walking through the breast cancer journey?
Yes. I'll always be indebted to my sister. She came to Eden Valley with me. She flew from Cayman and came with me and was with me through the journey. Family members, actually, my church, as well as my sister-in-law and my brother, their church, Grace Gospel Chapel, they were praying for me. So there were all these pockets of people praying, and I know that the power that came from that prayer was a blessing to me. So yes, supportive family, prayer warriors all over, you know, was very helpful. And I felt those prayers.
Awesome. So one final question. What is this Breast Cancer Awareness Month? Because obviously both of you have just recently gone through this fight. But what does Breast Cancer Awareness Month mean to you personally?
Well, for me, this year is the first time I'm actually sharing my story. So this month, this is now my second time sharing my story. So for me, it is now giving me hope to give someone else hope.
Right.
I've had it. You have it. Now let's get through it. And there is hope.
Yes, don't give up. There is hope. And yes, we need to do what we can to be a blessing to anyone who has the problem. So yes, that's basically what I would say, you know.
Any final words from either of you as we wrap up? Any words of advice, wisdom, prayer?
Yes, what I would say, people, go and get your tests done. Don't procrastinate on that. If I had procrastinated, it could have been worse, right, and so forth. So get your tests done, get your colonoscopy. A lot of people don't want to do it, like I didn't want to do it. and get your regular checkup. And there are, if you don't have the money, there are freebies, you know? Just take the time to take advantage of those things.
Right. And like she said, go and get tested. Like if you feel something and you're not sure, even if you don't feel nothing, I'll tell you, just go and check. Go and check. Because at the age of 30, you would never think that, oh, there's something I'm going to be dealing with. So go and get tested. Go and get tested.
All right. I want to thank you both very much for taking time out of your busy schedules to join us on Vital Voices today and tell us and our audience a little bit about your stories and your journey through the fight with breast cancer. My hope, obviously, is that anyone listening who is going through the fight or supporting someone who's going through the fight will find hope in hearing stories of women who have overcome and are sitting on the other side as survivors. So thank you both for being on the show today.
Well, it's a pleasure.
Thank you too for having us.
Awesome. What an incredible reminder from Dr. Ida Mae Hanna and Ms. Nikki Darling that healing is not just physical. It's emotional, spiritual, and deeply personal. Their courage, honesty, and faith that reminds us that survivorship is living fully, loving deeply, and giving thanks for every new day. As we close this final Vital Voices episode for the month of October, we honor every warrior, every survivor, and every family walking this journey of hope and healing. Your voices matter, and your stories light the way for others. So until next time, stay informed, stay connected, stay well, and stay tuned for the next Vital Voice.
We'd like to thank today's sponsors, Oak Tree Medical Center and Wellspring Lifestyle Group.
Did you miss a part of today's show? You can catch this episode and all Vital Voices episodes online at youtube.com/@VitalVoices242. See you next week as we sit down with another Vital Voice.
Vital Voices.